This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. Now, yesterday on the show, we mentioned how there's a new book about Eddie Van Halen coming out. These two journalists have had numerous conversations with him over the years, and they decided to work together to put to paper a bunch of things said in those numerous conversations. And their newest book, it's called Eruption, Conversations with Eddie Van Halen, is coming out soon. And in the book, it features over 50 hours of previously unreleased interviews with Eddie Van Halen. You know, he wasn't the biggest talker. He let his guitar playing do the talking for him. He was never one to get into that much in interviews, but these two journalists, in the wake of Eddie Van Halen's death, they think they have something that his fans and fans of rock and roll would really like. The two journalists, Brad Talinsky and Chris Gill, again, they had over a bunch of conversations with them, over 50 hours of previously unreleased interviews. And if you're a fan of Van Halen, a fan of the guitar, fan of rock and roll, Eruption, Conversations with Eddie Van Halen, a new book that'll be coming out pretty soon.
It always makes me wonder, what level of success do you have to be to have an estate? You ever notice that every time like a celebrity dies, whether it's Michael Jackson or Jimi Hendrix or something like that, there's an estate that take care of all of their affairs? Like, I remember when that Jimi Hendrix movie came out, they wasn't allowed to use the music that Jimi Hendrix made because Jimi Hendrix estate said they didn't want Jimi Hendrix music used. Or, you know, you always hear about like Eddie Van Halen. I'm sure he's had that success where he has an estate that can approve whether or not this book comes out or whether Wolfgang gets to see some of that money. I wonder what level of success, because I know I don't have an estate. You know, if I die tomorrow.
But you have a house.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is. I have a house, yeah, but I don't have like a group of people that's willing to take control over whatever the hell I have left after I die. And I wonder what level of success. Like, is it just rock stars and celebrities? Do like dentists, if there's a successful dentist or doctor, do they have an estate that take care of this stuff when they die?
I don't know what the exact dollar amount is to say someone has an estate once they die. I don't know if it's a couple of $100,000.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's $500,000, $1 million. I don't know, but if there's enough money in there where there's going to be a bunch of people who were close to the dead person arguing about who gets that money, I think that That would be the definition of an estate. If there's an enough if there's enough money there where people are fighting and arguing over who gets the money, I guess that would be an estate.
I can assure you I could probably go the rest of my life without having or needing an estate after I die.
You know, the house Eddie Van Halen lived in before his death, he lived there for a really long time up in the hills above Los Angeles. And that's the house where he built his own recording studio. And the first album, the first Van Halen album they recorded at that recording studio in Eddie Van Halen's house was the album 1984. And that's the house Wolfgang Van Halen, his son, grew up in. And but I just thought it was interesting how these guys had over 50 hours of previously unreleased interviews, and they decided to get together two writers to put a book out, Eruption, Conversations with Eddie Van Halen. And yesterday on the show, I mentioned how from their awesome first album, that one track that is a guitar solo that is called Eruption, it's been called by a lot of people the greatest guitar solo, or at least one of them ever. And I mentioned on the show yesterday how when they were recording the first album was basically done. And either the producer or the engineer, somebody in the studio happened to be walking by and heard Eddie Van Halen playing that. He was in the studio and he was playing that. And whoever heard him playing that ran to another engineer in the building and said, you have to go push play and record on this right now and record what he's doing. And they recorded that without him knowing it. And then when he was done playing it, the producer said, that was incredible. What is that? He said, Eddie said, that's what I do when I warm up. And the producer told them, we just recorded that, and that was so good, we're going to put that on the album by itself. And Eddie said, well, let me do it again. And I don't think they did, or I think they used that first take of him playing that and him not knowing it was being recorded to be put on the very first Van Halen album. Again, Eruption, it's an incredible guitar piece. It's right before the song You Really Got Me, which ended up being the first Van Halen song ever released to radio by their record company. And I mean, to this day, that's that little over a minute piece, Eruption, still sounds absolutely incredible. And he had no idea that they were recording it and they were going to put it on the album.
How long do you suppose those two reporters that's writing this book had been following Eddie Van Halen and just, you know, talking to him, like maybe a decade, a couple of years? Like, how long do you suppose?
It's a good question. If they have over 50 hours of previously unreleased interviews, that's a lot.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that goes to
your
point.
I don't know exactly when they started talking to him, or I don't know if all of this. The only other thing I read about the book, I think some of it starts early in his career. I don't know exactly how early or when, but having over 50 hours of previously unreleased interviews, that's a lot.
No, not really. That's what I was about to say. See, to your point, when you said Eddie Van Halen didn't talk a lot. Well, if they've been following Eddie Van Halen for the majority of his career and he only got 50 hours of interviews, that's not really a lot when you think about the span of his career. 50 hours is what? A little over 2 days worth? You know, so it's like
that's still a lot of interviews, though.
Maybe Colin. For somebody who's not talkative, you know.
Look, I don't know exactly when they started talking to him. Mm-hmm. But if you're a Van Halen fan, it should be interesting. All right, coming up on the show today, today's day 12. 75% of the people in the state of Louisiana who lost power during Hurricane Ida have their power back. Many people, the majority of people around the New Orleans metropolitan region, most people have their power back, and it's still going to be a little bit of time for some people in spots that were really hit hard by the storm. That's coming up, but we're making our way through, and that's what we're doing here. We're rocking and recovering here at Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. And today is day 12 after Hurricane Ida, and the state of Louisiana, according to our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, 75% of the people who lost power have gotten their power back in the state. And there's going to be some people whose areas got hit the hardest. It's going to take them a bit longer to get their power back, the last 25%. I know Entergy said that by the end of the month, and that's pretty rough, because what's today, September 10th? That's a long, long period of time. You know, in the New Orleans metropolitan region, you have to say Entergy and CLECO did a good job of getting a lot of people's power back not that long after the storm. I know it was rough. Personally, it was 6 days for me in the city of New Orleans, 6 days without power. And I'll tell you, when it was day four and we still hadn't heard from Entergy about any timetable of when the power was coming back, that was it was pretty rough. But then for me personally, it was the next day, day five, That was Friday, 1 week ago today, when Entergy last Friday morning when they said, all right, it's 5 days after the storm, and they said, here are the timetables. And it was 1 week ago today when the timetables went up. And they said, you know, some people will start getting their power back today. And when I saw that last Friday, they said my neighborhood, because I live in the warehouse district here in New Orleans, they said, you'll have your power back by the end of tomorrow. And that was the first time that any of us had heard any timetable whatsoever. So that first Sunday night, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of last week, and last Thursday, we still had no idea, because Entergy didn't say when the power was coming back. The heat, it was rough.
I mean, but...
And then the next morning, Friday morning, 1 week ago today, that's when we finally got the first timetables, and that's when power started coming back.
But that sounds logical when you think about the extent of the damage, the wide area of how much of the city and the surrounding areas was damaged, and you have to take into consideration that Entergy had to go around and survey the damage, see what areas were damaged and how, when, and why, how long it would take for trucks to get there. Then they had to come back and, like, meet with them themselves and determine, all right, in a course of action, like, these days we can do this area based on this damage. These people can go out to this area and fix this damage. It seems reasonable that with the amount of damage that they had, that it would take that long for an estimated timetable to be released. And for most people, it didn't happen on time. You know, some people still are without power. And for my neighborhood in general, my house specifically, it happened before the timetable. My power was supposed to come on the 8th, and it came on the 7th. Some people were supposed to come on the 8th, and they still don't have power. So it's still a rough estimate. It's not necessarily like the end-all, be-all when it comes to you're going to get your power back on this day based on the timetable.
No, and what was wild about it, Coleman, is... last weekend, when a bunch of people in New Orleans, and some other areas, I know the North Shore, St. Tammany Parish, when they started getting their power back, it still took another 3, 4, 5 days for people not that far from them to get their power back. Because right up until a couple of days ago, I have friends in Metairie and Kenner that still didn't get their power back. And they just got it back within the last 48 hours.
Yeah, it's weird how those grid works. I've been in power outages in my neighborhood when there's thunderstorms. And literally right across the street, the power would be out where my power would be on. My brother, he stays 2 streets away from me. I had my power back 2 days before his came back on. So it is weird how the grids work. It's not necessarily just because you live in the same neighborhood or even on the same street that you get your power back. It could be your neighbor right next door. You would have power and they don't.
Well, I mentioned in the apartment building I lived in, I do live in, there's an apartment building behind my apartment building, 1 street behind my apartment building. And they got power back 24 hours before my building got power back. So I could look out the window and I could look across the street, and I could see the building right across the street from where I live. They had power. They had lights. I didn't mean to look into so many windows. But that was a full 24 hours before my building right across the street got its power back. And I was a bit envious. And I know envy is one of the 7 deadly sins, and you shouldn't be jealous or envious. But boy, the last night I didn't have power, that last hot night, and I'm looking across the street, and boy, that building right next to mine, they got power. I wonder when I'm going to get power back. And it was the next night.
It was a process, and it was interesting to see because since I didn't have gas to drive around, whenever I wanted to go to a store or whatever, I had to walk. And the front of my neighborhood, the poles, the electric poles completely snapped, like the wood, everything snapped, and the power lines were on the ground. And it was interesting to see the process of how, you know, my neighborhood particularly had power back. The first day I walked out of there, we seen the energy trucks, but they didn't fix anything. They just sat down and they took a survey of the damage and then they left. Everybody got excited when they saw the trucks because they thought we were getting power back that day. Then the next day they cleaned up all the debris and they dropped off the new logs that they were going to put, the new big wood poles. They dropped those off and then they left. So it's like each day you saw a piece of the process. So the first day they just surveyed the damage, seeing what they need. The next day they dropped off the materials that were needed, like the wood poles and the new wiring. The next day you saw them up there untangling certain wires and getting rid of the wires that they couldn't use anymore because they were severely damaged. Then the next day you saw them putting up the poles. So each day it was a different thing. It wasn't like just because the trucks were out there that means you got power. Each day it was a new part of the process.
Well, they've done a good job. It's a lot of work. And I know they had over 20,000 crews come from different parts of the country to come down here. And many of those folks are still here. And as we mentioned on the show yesterday, there were some of the linemen who have been eating food that they love, food that they've never eaten before. And some of that stuff has been online, them sending messages back to their families, their wives, wherever they're from, saying, you got to make this when I come back home, when I'm done working here, because this is something we've never had before, and it's fantastic. I thought that was pretty cool. But again, I think you gotta say that Entergy and Clico, they've done a good job. Again, there are still 25% of people in the state of Louisiana who have lost power and haven't gotten it back yet. But as being part of the 75%, you say, boy, good job.
Robbie says, I just paid my electric bill and I don't know when I'll get power back. You're a good man, Robbie. I didn't even know. I guess he must have paid it online. I still have to pay my AT&T bill, but I still don't have internet yet in my house. But if the AT&T place is open, I'm still going to pay my bill. It was due last week, but of course I couldn't pay it last week. I couldn't go anywhere. But even though I still don't have internet yet, I'll still pay the bill just in case.
I'll tell you, and everybody who's from here and people who have lived here a long time, they know all the basics when a hurricane is coming. But I think two things that we learned the most during Hurricane Ida: have a full tank of gas in your car before the hurricane hits. Have a full tank of gas in your car and have some cash in your pocket. Go to the ATM, make sure, because when power's out, there's no way they can swipe your debit card, your credit card. And I think those two things go right to the top of the list of things you need to do when you see a hurricane is coming. Make sure you fill up your car with gas, and make sure you go to the ATM or the bank before the hurricane comes and have some cash in your pocket. Those two things will make your life a heck of a lot easier.
And a new thing that I learned this particular go around, as far as opposed to 16 years ago, was Katrina is the popularity of social media now you can check in safe, you can ping your location, you can use certain apps to keep in touch with it. So having a fully charged phone and a way to charge your phone, I seen this go around with Ida, how critical it was for people and how it helped, you know, having a cell phone, being able to get in touch with people in different ways other than just the regular telephone, as like 16 years ago when it was still in its infancy, like social media and cell phone technology. Now it's like people are giving each other cash through Cash App and Venmo if they needed it. Like, oh, you need help with your roof? Here you go. And they Venmo the cash right directly to your Cash App or whatever.
Yeah, you could have no power. You could have no internet, yet you're still able to transfer cash via Venmo and PayPal and things like that. That was something. And, you know, the car oasis is something, how people can charge their cell phones in their cars and get air conditioning in their cars while they are charging their cell phones. Two things they couldn't do in their homes. The car oasis became big. And for me, in my apartment building, I could open my door And the hallways were lit up. And the elevators worked because the hallways and the elevators were on backup generator. So I could go into the hallway and I could charge my phone in the hallway of my apartment building. That saved me because I've been in between cars for a long time. That saved me. I don't know what I would have done if I wasn't able to open my door, my front door in my apartment building, step right outside into the hallway and plug my charger in and charge my cell phone in the hallway. I don't know what I would have done without that.
And another cool thing was I have a radar app, a weather radar app on my phone, and I was literally watching the hurricane go over me while, you know, on my phone while it was going on. And I thought that was pretty cool, too, just like just seeing the winds and the gusts as it's happening outside and on my phone with the radar. So,
all right, coming up on the show, somebody tried burglarizing a few banks in Slidell right after Hurricane Ida hit. You know, is that a good time for bank robbers right after a hurricane? And we will tell you about a strip club who's hooking up some of the linemen who are working hard to hook us up. Stay tuned for that. We got a lot to do on the show this morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. There are many, 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 many television shows that are popular that I've never watched one episode of. And one of those television shows is Dancing with the Stars. But I just read that many of this season's Dancing with the Stars contestants are struggling with drugs, alcohol, and debt. Wait a minute. Isn't that how they wound up on the show Dancing with the Stars in the first place? How is that news? Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. I've always liked Cindy Crawford. And what's interesting about saying that, I once heard a radio host in New Orleans say he never thought that much of her. He said, she's really never been, not my type. I never really... And I remember the radio host in New Orleans saying that while I was driving in my car at the time. And I said, I'm offended by that. And hardly anything offends me. You know, Coleman, nothing offends you or I. But when I was driving down the road, I said to myself, why would he say that? Even if he didn't think she was that good looking, why would he say that on the air while he was mentioning her? The reason I bring her up is because she's making some news for recreating a commercial she did for Pepsi 29 years ago. So almost 30 years ago. And she's recreating it by doing basically the same thing. She went to the same spot where they filmed it, where they video recorded it 29 years ago. And she looks absolutely incredible. And she's wearing, she's wearing the short Daisy Duke shorts. And she had a white tank top on. And she looks incredible. You know, Cindy Crawford is 55 years old now, and it doesn't look like she aged very much at all. I know they can do a lot with makeup and such, but she still looks fantastic. And I've always liked her. From the day she became famous, I looked at her and said, oh my God, that's one of the best looking women who's walking upright on two legs on planet Earth. And she you talk about aging gracefully. And, you know, she was one of the first supermodels. So I think she's close to 6 feet tall. She's like 5'11 or 5'10 and a half or something like that. I mean, she might even be 6 feet
tall. I think she is the very first supermodel. There are famous models, but...
Well, there were a group of supermodels that came out and became famous together back when we were kids.
Yeah, Tyra Banks, Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, when we were kids. But she never seemed to have the bad attitude like some of the other ones. I mean, they were all hot, obviously. That's why they were supermodels. But she never seemed to be bitchy like the other ones. She always seemed to be cool. And I just always thought she's one of the most attractive females in the history of females. But she just got back into that outfit that she did that Pepsi commercial in 29 years ago. And she is redoing the commercial. And when I saw this story, it made me think of that time I was driving here in New Orleans. I was uptown in my car. And it was probably about maybe 7 years ago, right around there. There was another radio host in New Orleans talking about Cindy Crawford. She was in the news again for something. And he made the comment. I never, she's not my type. I never thought she was that attractive. And I'm thinking to myself while I'm driving my car, what male, what heterosexual male could say that? Looking at Cindy Crawford saying that I never found her that attractive. She's not that hot. You know, if there was a woman who so many people thought she was attractive, but I didn't, I don't think I would ever say that on the radio. Because when he said that, like I mentioned, Coleman, and this was long before everybody got offended by everything that people say, but I was offended by, how could this man say that he doesn't find Cindy Crawford that attractive and she's not his type? Even if that's the truth, why would he say that on the radio?
I'll say this on the radio. I'm looking at the pictures right now. You can see it at buy957.com. We have this. It's the Cindy Crawford. I'm looking at her in a Daisy Duke shorts and a tank top. And she is a stunning, stunning, beautifully attractive woman. However, me being from the South, you know how I like my women, John.
You like them a little thicker.
A little bit thick. She's not, don't get me wrong. I would still do sex with Cindy Crawford right now as she looks in this picture. She would still get it at this moment. Plus, I do need a sugar mama. Bills are getting tight. But I a little bit more meat around the thighs and hips area, then I'd be sold. I like them thick.
You want her to go eat some donuts?
Yeah. Or some boudin or something. She needs right around the hip area. Still, I'll still do it. Don't get me wrong. But a little thickness right there in that upper thigh, butt cheek area.
You know, and she's been with her husband for a very long time.
Oh, man, you messed the whole fantasy up. You had to say husband. You could just let the picture go as
is. Yeah, I should have. But she's been with the same dude, Randy Gerber, for a very long time. He owns bars, and he's a successful businessman. They have a couple of kids. They're around 20 years old now.
Wait, she's married to the dude named Gerber?
Yeah.
So her name is really Cindy Gerber?
Well, she kept her Cindy Crawford name for a professional name, but I...
Yeah, smart business move.
Her daughter looks pretty much just like her, and her daughter is a model as well. And then she had a son that made news not that long ago. He got a tattoo, a small tattoo on his face.
Not interested.
And I know social media went crazy, and I think I read where he had the tattoo on his face removed. I don't know what's going on there, but I just thought it was pretty cool that Cindy Crawford is recreating the same commercial she did for Pepsi 29 years ago in the same outfit, in the same place, and she looks almost the same, which is absolutely incredible. Always be a Cindy Crawford fan. And like Coleman said, You could see those pictures in that story on our website at Bayou957.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. And the NFL season started last night with a very entertaining competitive football game. And as we sit here 12 days after Hurricane Ida, there was something last night that made life normal again. Watching a football game between the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because that's what the NFL has been doing for a while now. They start the season every year on a Thursday night, and they have the team who won the Super Bowl last year host the first game of the season. And that's what happened when the Dallas Cowboys played at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night. Great game. Tampa kicks a field goal with 2 seconds left to beat the Dallas Cowboys 31-29 in a game many people thought the Dallas Cowboys should have won. Their quarterback returned last night. Dak Prescott, who was having a great season for the first month of the season last year, until he suffered a gruesome ankle injury where he broke his ankle, and that injury made him miss the rest of last season. But Dak Prescott last night, he threw for over 400 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he was incredible. But Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were able to come back and kick that field goal down by 1 point with 2 seconds to go to win the game. But before the game started, on the pregame show, Drew Brees made his debut as a pregame show host for NBC. And he was great. He was excellent at being a pregame host for the Sunday night football crew last night on their Thursday night opener. Drew Brees was great, but what had a lot of people talking online, I saw on social media, people were blown away by Drew Brees' hair, because it looked like he had a heck of a lot more of it than he did, oh, I don't know, 10 years ago.
10 months ago.
Yeah. Now, look. It is true. Drew Brees' hair has made a better comeback than the New England Patriots did in that Super Bowl against the Atlanta Falcons when they were down 28-3 and came back and won the game. Drew Brees' hair was right there with the New England Patriots when it comes to comebacks. And you know what they're doing with hair treatment lately is incredible. Whether those were plugs or whatever the case may be, you do what you can do. You do what's available, and his hair looked great.
See, Drew Brees doesn't seem like the type that would want to go for cosmetics. I don't know. Did he feel the pressure of being on national TV for the first time? So he felt like he had to have game show host hair? Because Drew Brees seems like a regular standard dude. Like, he doesn't care about makeup. He doesn't care about hair. As long as he's keeps up with his personal hygiene, everything's all good. But you think he felt pressure to being on TV? So he felt like he had to do all the TV stuff, like get hair and makeup and get the little side dent that they have when it comes to game shows? And
Coleman, here's what I think.
What do you think, John?
When you're as rich as Drew Brees is, and they have technology where you could spend, I don't know, a couple of $1,000s, I don't know what that cost, a few $1,000s, to stop you from being bald and to make you look like he looked last night. I think most guys, especially if they're making their national television debut on as a co-host of a pregame show, I think most guys would probably do that.
I don't know. See, Drew Brees is already married to a hot wife. He doesn't need to impress anybody no more. So he could have did like George Carlin, just rock the ball. He could have did like Jason Statham. There's a lot like Vin Diesel, The Rock. There's a lot of guys. You can look bald and still look cool, you know? You don't have to go for the game show host hair, especially if you don't have nobody to impress. At this point, Drew Brees doesn't have anybody to impress. Go ahead. What's the other quarterback? Bradshaw, he doesn't have any hair. Look at him. He does announcement, commentating, stuff like that.
Well, first and foremost, now there's a Louisiana native, Terry Bradshaw, yeah, you're talking about. You know, when he started going bald, they didn't have the technology. You know, if Terry Bradshaw was Drew Brees' age, I'm sure Terry Bradshaw would spend a few $1,000s to look like he's got his own full head of natural hair instead of going bald.
I don't know.
But one other thing I wanted to say.
Okay.
I don't know this for a fact, but I would bet that Drew Brees' wife, Brittany Brees, likes his hair the way it looks.
Now that would make sense. Now if he's doing it because she likes it, then that's completely understandable. You and I, we have a mutual friend that's married. He comes around with weird haircuts all the time, and we ask him, dude, what the hell are you doing? And what does he say? Oh, my wife likes it this way. So he actually sits there and looks crazy just because his wife prefers that look. Now if Drew Brees did it for his wife, yeah, all right, I'm on board with that. Make your wife happy. But if he's just doing that because of the game show pressure of being on television for the first time and he thought that would look good, it was unnecessary.
No, but a lot of people were talking about his hair. They're like, whoa, he's got so much more of it than he did, I don't know, always.
Even it's not even that he had more. It was that he had more, and it was weird looking. It was all curly at some parts and a little blacker at some parts than it was. It was weird. It was weird.
But there are lots of guys who have no problem with going bald,
mm-hmm.
but then there are lots of guys also where if they had the means, and now that we have the technology to put a head of hair on them like that, look, I don't want to go bald, but I noticed about, I don't know, 9 or 10 years ago, someone said, hey, at the top of your head, towards the back, you could see there's a small bald spot. When someone told me that, the next day, I was in CVS or Walgreens.
Why?
I was buying Rogaine.
Why?
Because I've seen the commercials, and they say, you know, if you put a little of this Rogaine on your bald spot twice a day, you'll grow hair there. And don't you know, it has worked.
Really?
It's worked for me.
Okay. I guess I'm the complete opposite because I've been bald on purpose. Like, I would shave my head bald because I don't have a problem with the bald look. I guess I look good bald, so it doesn't really matter whether I have hair or not. But I'm kind of waiting for when my hair thins out. You know, I think I'm going to look like George Jefferson because the way my hair is, I think it's going to start thinning at the top. And I have that little, that George Costanza thing going around the sides of my head. That's how I think I'm going to look. And people say, well, why don't you, do things, dye your hair, make yourself look younger? I'm like, no, I want to look my age. That way I don't get confused with the younger generation, because if I get confused with the younger generation, people are going to expect me to do young things, and I might not have young energy. So the younger I look, more people are going to expect young behavior from me, and sometimes I don't want to participate in young people behavior. Sometimes I want people to say, no, don't call him at 3 in the morning. He's too old for that, because I don't really want to go out at 3 in the morning, you know?
Well, Coleman, the biggest difference between you and me when it comes to our hair, well, you happen to be black.
Mm-hmm.
I'm white. My hair grows down. Your hair grows up.
That's true. That's true.
You
can't rock the fro like I do, can you?
That's the biggest
difference. You can get cornrows, though. You ever thought about getting cornrows?
No.
Oh. Try that out.
But Drew Brees was, and his hair, fantastic last night as a pregame host. And that game last night was very, very entertaining to watch. And, you know, they're saying that Tom Brady has one goal left, and that's to go undefeated. And there are some sports fans, sports gurus, who think that could happen this year. That almost happened once in New England. They were undefeated when they went to that Super Bowl and lost to New Orleans native Eli Manning and the New York Giants. But some people who say they're in the know say that that's what Tom Brady wants more than anything. Sure, he wants another Super Bowl ring, but he wants to go undefeated.
Isn't that the goal of almost every team? Doesn't every team want to go undefeated?
Yeah, but that's only happened in 1972 with the Miami Dolphins. So that's other than that, that's never happened. So, and most people realize that, you know, you're going to have some ups and downs during the season. That's not realistic. It's not going to happen. But this is Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And he was already one game away from that once in his career. And so people are saying that that's what he really, really, really
you know what's going to happen, right? If he goes undefeated this season, everybody's going to say the refs have to be in on it. No matter what happens, let's say he does go undefeated with Tampa Bay this year, people are going to say the only way he did that was because the ref had his back, because the refs wanted him to have an undefeated season too. They were on a take.
Well, after that game last night, he could have very easily be 0-1 this morning, but he's not. He's 1-0 this morning. And I'm just excited for the Saints on Sunday. I'm excited for college football tomorrow. Getting back to normal as we are rocking and recovering here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. At the Kansas State Fair, they are selling Krispy Kreme donut hot dogs covered in bacon. What's interesting is they have a popular ride at that same fair. It's an ambulance ride to the hospital. And how delicious does that sound, though? Krispy Kreme donut hot dogs covered in bacon. You know, it's the first year that has been at the Kansas State Fair, although they've been using that to fatten hogs for several years. How amazing does that sound? Krispy Kreme donut hot dogs covered in bacon.
Yeah, it sounds great now, but then later on.
Hey, if that's the biggest problem from that, I'm in. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. I want to tell you about a man police are looking for who was committing bank burglaries during Hurricane Ida. But with everything that's going through your mind during a hurricane, and you're in it, here's a guy that thought, you know, this is a great time to go try to rob banks. And I'm going to tell you about him in just a second. I wanted to say hello and thank you for listening to the crew at CB Towers. They're out there making all of the cell phone towers work in the area. And the reason I know about them is because a guy I went to college with works for them. And he lives out in California. And he's here in Louisiana right now. And he sent me a message on Facebook. But that just goes to show you, I mean, here's a guy that I went to college with a long time ago that haven't seen or heard much of him for a long time. I mean, he lives out in California. I live here in New Orleans. But he, like some of the electric company workers, came here from different parts of the country to help us get our lives back to the way we know them. His name's Kevin. I wanted to say, what's up, Kevin? We had some good times in college, man, from what I can remember, at least. But it's great that he and the people he works with travel across country to come help us out. I thought that was awesome. And hopefully, Kevin, get into the city of New Orleans. I know you're in the area somewhere, but yeah, let's go have a couple of beers again, like back in the day. So thanks to those guys. But this story, Slidell Police, they're investigating bank burglaries that occurred during Hurricane Ida. It happened at three different locations. Slidell police are investigating several bank ATM burglaries, which occurred at the height of Hurricane Ida. In one case, the suspect actually forced entry into a bank. The day after Hurricane Ida, a man took advantage of the circumstances and attempted to break into three different ATMs in Slidell. At one location, the suspect forced his way inside of a bank. In each burglary attempt, the suspect left empty-handed.
That's what I was looking for. I was trying to see, because ATMs are difficult to get into.
They are tough to break into.
Especially if you don't have power, you know, electricity. I'm quite sure those banks that he broke into didn't have power or electricity, which makes it even harder, believe it or not, to get into ATM machines.
Due to critical infrastructure, Coleman, that was damaged during the hurricane, the burglaries were not discovered until days later. They were three different banks on Gauze Boulevard in Slidell. And he tried breaking into the ATMs at those banks. And at one of them, he actually got into the bank.
Hmm.
But, I mean, you think about what's going on during and shortly after or at the end of a hurricane. Most people are just trying to make sure they're safe, that they've got their wits about them. This guy is thinking during that particular time, you know, this would be a great time to go rob ATM machines.
Well, you don't have anything to lose. You're not really worried about your safety at that point. If this guy is that dedicated to where he wants to try to gain money in the height of a hurricane, that means he probably didn't have nothing to begin with that he felt like it was at stake that he had to worry about his own safety.
Well, I think he may have a little bit to lose because they've got his picture at one of the banks. It was working well enough to snap a picture of him, and he's looking right into the camera. He is wearing a mask. So for a bank robber or an ATM robber, at least he's health conscious when it comes to wearing a mask.
He looks like he has a whole ski mask on. I'm looking at the picture right now on our website. And you know what's funny? He is wearing a mask, but just by his eyes, he looks like he's smiling a little bit. He looks like he's enjoying himself. That's the weird thing about it.
Again, I just think of everything that goes through our minds during a hurricane, at the end of a hurricane, and here's someone, what went through his mind? Let's go rob as many ATMs as we can on Gauze Boulevard at Slidell.
Somebody know who that guy is. Enough of his face is exposed that he could be identified. Somebody knows who this guy is.
Hey, coming up next on the show, there's a local strip club who is offering linemen and first responders free drinks. We'll tell you about that coming up next. And a celebrity, someone who's been on our show, in the studio here on our show, is behind this. And her behind is something too. Stay tuned for that. That's coming up next here as we rock while we recover on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you as we are starting out day 12 after Hurricane Ida. And according to our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, 75% of people who lost power during Hurricane Ida here in Louisiana have had their power restored. And for those other 25%, it's going to take some more time. I know Entergy said recently that hopefully by the end of the month. Kind of sucks when today's only September 10th. But some areas got whacked a lot harder. Yeah, I have friends in Metairie and Kenner who just got their power back. A guy I know in Kenner just got his power back last night. It was pretty wild. But you'd have to say Entergy and Clico, they've done a good job. This was a massive storm, Hurricane Ida. And for getting as many people their power back within a fairly short amount of time, good job by them. But again, outside of being sick, I can't think of anything worse than living without power.
I can think of a few things that's worse. Like I said, for me, living without power, as long as I was by myself, I was okay. It's just seeing other people suffer. When the storm first happened, I had family members in the house with me, and watching them, you know, fan themselves and suffer, that was bad. But when they left and went to their own homes and I was stuck by myself without power, it wasn't really that bad. It was kind of peaceful a little bit other than the heat. You know, I had getting natural sunlight in the house, just sitting in the tub when it was cold, reading books, you know, getting away from all the hustle and bustle of the buzzing of electricity. So for a couple of days there, the solitude was peaceful on my end.
The daytime without power in the house isn't as bad as the nighttime. Once the nighttime came, because of the heat, trying to sleep, and it just I can't think of many things worse than living about a week or more without electricity. That's not life. Like we're accustomed to, obviously, and just misery. I think a textbook definition for the word misery is living without electricity.
I mean, humans have lived a long, 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 long time without electricity.
But they never had it before, so they didn't know.
Exactly. So you think we're spoiled?
Well, hey, Larry Flint's Hustler Club on Bourbon Street, Coleman,
mm-hmm.
They're offering a drink on the house to all the linemen and first responders for Hurricane Ida. This continues to show the outpouring of support that people around here are showing the thousands of linemen and first responders working in Louisiana after Hurricane Ida. And a friend of our show, someone who was in the studio during one of our shows, we interviewed her and we made a video. You remember Stormy Daniels?
I remember Stormy.
She's the one who's teaming up with Larry Flint's Hustler Club in their Nudity for Humanity campaign.
Wait, say that again?
Nudity for Humanity.
That sounds like something I can get behind.
To benefit Hurricane Ida relief efforts. Stormy Daniels, who made her name obviously as a porn star, and then whether she was or wasn't involved with Donald Trump before he was president. That was some interview on our show that day. Maybe we should go find that and repost that back at the top of our website, bayou957.com. That was an interesting interview, and she looked incredible that morning. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember. We kissed. Do you remember that?
That's right. You did kiss her. Well, Stormy Daniels, who, by the way, is a Louisiana native from Baton Rouge, she spearheaded, several people, but she spearheaded a pop-up distribution center at Larry Flint's Hustler Club, giving out oil, gas, non-perishable food, water, fans, lights, tarps, coolers, and ice.
How about that?
And they're announcing Larry Flint's Hustler Club will be offering a drink on the house, a free drink for all linemen and first responders today, tonight, and tomorrow. Tomorrow night, and they're continuing to donate to relief efforts as well, Larry Flint's Hustler Club.
I wonder if we can do more to help. I wonder if we can take it a step further with just some ideas. All right, so here you are, you're a lineman, and you want to chillax after a hard day's work of helping people get back to normal about putting power. So you go to Larry Flint's Hustler Club. You get, you know, if you're a victim of the disaster, you get some ice, some oil, some gas. If you're a lineman, you get a free beer. But I think maybe we should see if we can see about getting these guys some lap dances as well while they're there, right?
It doesn't say
exactly
if the lap dances or the strippers being there is included, but you would think it would be if all of this stuff falls under the umbrella of what they're calling Nudity for Humanity.
At least hand them a beer topless or something. Help these guys out, you know?
I'm wondering how the wives of the linemen who came in from out of state, even the linemen who live locally and first responders, I wonder how their wives feel. Hey, honey, someone wants to show their gratitude towards us. They want to say thank you, and they offered us a free drink in their club. It's Larry Flint's Hustler Club. I wonder how they're...
Why would they want to tell their wives that? I don't think any lineman in their right mind would just call their wife and be like, hey, wife, while you're like a couple of miles away from the city that I'm working in and you're not around, I'm going to go to the strip club with Stormy Daniels for the Nudity for Humanity deal, and they're going to give me free beers at the strip club.
Hey, it is for humanity. Sure, it's nudity, but it's nudity for humanity.
They better have some cool-ass wives then.
Well, anyways, Larry Flint's Hustler Club offering a free drink to any lineman or first responder who goes in there today, tonight, or tomorrow night.
Dan from Boston, I'm not going to read the entire text, it's kind of long, but he says, you know, he doesn't feel that it's fair that post office workers don't get enough credit as the linemen and the first responders. He said post office workers still are doing their thing too. But the thing about post office workers, I'm not excited to get bills in the mail yet. I mean, I get that the post office they do have a very important job delivering the mail, you know, rain, sleet, snow, and hail. But I'm not looking forward to getting Entergy bills or sewage and water board bills or AT&T bills in my mail just yet.
I just saw my mailman for the first time 2 days ago, because it was only a couple days ago where mail all of a sudden was being delivered again. Because to tell Dan, our texter up in Boston, for the first week or so after Hurricane Ida, there was no mail being delivered.
So would you get an AARP thing, or maybe with some junk mail extended warranty?
No, bills.
All right, who's excited to get bills back in the mail, man? I mean, great work, Postal Service, man, but still.
Yeah, and Dan, you know, I said that about the people that work in the grocery stores, in the drug stores that are open. You know, the truck drivers, we learned that during the whole coronavirus situation. We saw it again during Hurricane Ida, right after the storm came and went. The people that did show up and go to work at places, that people who stuck around like me and you, Coleman, we really needed.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of respect for every worker, everybody, doesn't matter what you do. If you get up and you go to work, I totally respect you. And ever since coronavirus and now Hurricane Ida, I look at the people that work in grocery stores a little bit different. I look at, because they just kept doing it. And we're seeing that after the storm here.
Yep. A lot of people doing a lot of great things, whether they're linemen or they're just guys that's wanting to cook for the linemen, or whether they're porn stars and want to give linemen a free beer. It runs the gamut. Everybody's involved in showing the best out of people.
Yeah, what was that old Glenn Campbell song, Wichita Lineman? Well, how about Louisiana Lineman? Be a cool tune. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. September is National Childhood Obesity Awareness Month. Some children across the United States are wearing electronic devices so scientists can monitor their activity. Wait a minute, isn't that what we do with whales? We can put an electronic device, a chip in them, and then they can... That's what they're doing for some children in this country. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. A woman went viral on TikTok for deworming herself. But since this happened, there have been some doctors who have come out and they say, don't try this at home. Well, the FDA has already warned people, Coleman, not to use a livestock dewormer as a cure for COVID. But what do you do when you actually suspect that you may be living with unwanted worms? A woman named Jessica went on TikTok and she found herself in that not so pleasant predicament recently when she purchased an over-the-counter dewormer from Walgreens.
All right.
I guess she thought she had worms, so she went to Walgreens and she bought an over-the-counter dewormer.
Okay, I'm following you so far.
After drinking that milky liquid for several days, she was horrified to discover that she did indeed have worms. She said, quote, so my butt crack was itchy for the last couple of days, and I was like, whatever. I shaved it on Saturday. Have you ever shaved your butt crack?
No, I have not.
Neither have I.
Now, waxing, that's a different thing.
She said she shaved her butt crack on Saturday, and she continued, I only wear thongs, so it's probably just irritated, she said on the TikTok video. No, it got worse today. So your girl decided to take a camera with the flash on down there, and I totally wish I wouldn't have.
So she looked at a butt and discovered that they had worms coming out of
it. She had worms.
Okay. Following the story so far.
Well, a doctor chimed in. A doctor of pediatric infectious diseases. And he's a physician at Johns Hopkins University. He said pinworms, the most common worms in the United States, may be the cause of the sensation that woman described in her TikTok video.
Okay, but here's the part that I'm not following. Let's say you do indeed find that you have worms coming out of your butt. What is your first thought? To go to the doctor to see if you can do something about the worms? Or, you know what, this would be a perfect opportunity to make a video to share with all on social media on TikTok. What is the logical thought process here if you found out that you had worms coming out of your butt? Oh, let me grab the camera so I could document my experience, or maybe I should see a medical professional about the worms coming out of my butt.
Now, this TikTok user, Jessica, she chose the TikTok video. She would rather go viral with her anal issues then get right to the doctor. And the doctor who commented on her video continued by saying the most common initial sign of pinworms is a sensation of itching at the anus at night or first thing in the morning.
Oh, so they had their own biological clock, the worms do?
Yeah, evidently, if you have itching at the anus in the middle of the day, you won't have to worry about worms. Maybe just something else you have to worry about.
Let's say that I had a crush on Jessica. Okay? I had a crush on Jessica. I thought she was fairly attractive. So I follow on her social media. I may have even slid into her DMs. As soon as she posted the video about admitting that she had worms coming out of her butt, not even going to see a doctor about the worms coming out of her butt, but going to deworm herself and then documenting the entire experience for the world to see, I don't think I would want to do sex with Jessica anymore after that.
Yeah, she's a fairly attractive woman, too.
It don't matter how attractive you are. Once you admit that you had worms coming. All right, even if she had the worms coming out of her butt and she kept it on the DL and nobody knew, I might could accept that. But no, she told the world that she had worms coming out of her butt and didn't even have the wherewithal to go see a medical professional. She decided to deworm herself.
So you're telling me if it let's say, a stunningly beautiful woman, an extremely attractive woman, said, hey, Coleman, you could do sex with me, but there's one thing I got to tell you. I had some worms coming out of my butt.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't do sex with her?
Not after she posted it on social media and then said she didn't even go see a doctor. See, let's say a stunningly attractive woman said, I have worms coming out of my butt. But she said, but I went to a doctor and I got it checked out and I'm all good now. I would give that a pass. But if she's telling me, I didn't even go to the doctor. I just went to Walmart and did it myself.
Walgreens.
Yeah Walgreens, Walmart. Yeah. She went to deworm herself. No, I can't trust that. Hell no.
And she went with the over-the-counter dewormer.
We got to do better, people.
That's a question you'd have to think about. This stunningly beautiful woman wants to do sex with you, but she says, I've got worms coming out of my backside. Would you still do sex with her? Could you forget about the worms?
That's, you know what I feel about this whole entire story, John?
And next week, the dumbest thing I read all morning segment will come back to the show. And the Big O will come back to the show, and we'll do the show that we normally do. For this week, we're just rocking and recovering from Hurricane Ida here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.